over and over, he's comparing his relationship with his God is compared to all these different things. But instead of things, he's saying, my relationship with God is this for me. It's my stronghold, my fortress, my rock. Other verses talk about he is the wings under which I find shelter and protection and comfort and strength. So last one here, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is faithful to protect. He is faithful to his promises. And then it says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. This is what allowed Paul in Philippians 4:13 to say, I can do all things through Christ. I can be in plenty or in want. I could be hurting or comfortable. I could be wealthy or poor. Because in any of those situations, the Lord doesn't change, and he is my refuge. So verse after verse, the Lord is my refuge. And I printed out all of the Psalms that have the word refuge in it to read through. And that was an extensive list. The idea or word refuge comes up so many times in Scripture. So let us know what this means. Let us recognize when we come into times of trouble, when we come into times where we need wisdom, when we come into difficulties of various kinds, whether it be a surgery or a cancer diagnosis or a death of a loved one or whatever it is, the Lord God desires to be a refuge for you, to sustain you through all of those difficulties and temptations. So where do you need to run to God for rest and for strength? And sometimes you think you've accomplished it, and yet another wave comes in, and God says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will be a fortress for you. So let us be a people who seek him out, because God is a refuge. Beyond just God is a refuge, I have a question for you. Are you a murderer? Physically speaking, like under the law, I think most of us can say no, that we are not murderers, right? And yet, in the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus want to bring to our recollection as the law says, do not murder, right? That's the sixth commandment. You know how I remember that? Don't murder. That's the murder, right? Anyway, anybody else learn all those different ways to memorize the different commandments? Anyway, it's a commandment of God, do not murder, right? And so most of us can say, check that part of the law, I'm good. God and I are good, I'm not a murderer. And yet in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we read this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is even angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And in the context means that same judgment, that same idea of judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fires of hell. Jesus was making it clear to us that it doesn't take premeditated murder to be guilty before God and need refuge, need a place to plead your case and hope that there's going to be mercy. We are all accountable before God for our sins, and we must give an account before a living, holy God. And it says here, if you've ever hated or spoken ill of anyone or harbored that in your heart, that you're liable to judgment, that would be the same as murder in God's eyes when it comes to sin before God. And so we take this idea of being liable before God, needing a place of refuge, but acknowledging there's a difference here because we didn't accidentally sin. We have willfully been enemies of God, and therefore even the city of refuge, as it was established in the Old Testament, wouldn't have helped us. We would have been given over to the avenger of blood because we are guilty before a holy God. But there is hope. Psalm 34, chapter 2 says this: "The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And so the question then is how? Where is the justice there? And we as believers who are of the word know and understand, we are to flee to the cross, where our high priest has died and given a life for a life and allowed us to be free from our condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34, that none who take refuge in him will be condemned. So God is our refuge. Jesus is our redeemer. And now, one last application. Beyond God, our refuge, Jesus, our redeemer, we also have the Spirit as our teacher. So the question is, do we need to be taught and reminded about the Word of God just as Israel was? Yes and no. Again, that's kind of a trick question. Do we need to be instructed in the Word of God and keep this ever on our mind? Yes. But there's a distinction, because in the Old Testament times, it wasn't in their hearts. They weren't new creations in Christ. So they needed these Levites to continue to pound, that's a rough way of saying it, but to continue to put the word before them. And it was a very uphill battle, if you know Scripture. But we today can be made new creations in Christ, where the prophecies in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, that we would be given a new heart, and that God's words would be written not on stone, tablets of stone, but on our hearts. Inwardly, we each are graciously instructed in the ways of God, and so we don't need special Levitical cities that we travel to for instruction, but each of us individually, when we sit down with God's word, we have a helper. And that's what John 14, 26 says. And these are the words of Jesus as he was leaving and his disciples were worried. John 14, Jesus says this to his disciples: "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And we need to practice listening to this inward voice. We need to feed, stay connected to the vine with God's word, and allow the Spirit to transform our thinking. And yes, it's important to come and gather on a Sunday, but your faith is not a Sunday faith. It is a daily abiding relationship between you and your God with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I say this, we are going to need, each of us individually, are going to need the Spirit's guiding in the coming days. This has been true of all New Testament, but ever more so as that day draws near. There's going to be a great deception, and many will fall away. That is what Scripture says. But to those of us who have a helper, who stay connected to the Word of God, I read this in 1 John chapter 2. "No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And what you heard from the if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life." And then listen to this: "I write these things to you about those, or because of those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him does abide in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. And in the context that no need that anyone reveal these deceptions to you, because God's Spirit in your heart and mind, as you meditate on God's word, those deceptions will become clear to each one of us. It says, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has been taught you, so now abide in him. So I'm not saying that you should fire your pastor and each start your own little teaching sessions. It's important that we gather. It's important that we have elders that overlook the ongoings of the congregation, encourage and spur on the church. But it's also important for you to recognize that the anointing that God has placed on you, the Spirit, the down payment that he has put on you, let us continually, daily listen to that voice, that we might know that God is a refuge and taste and see that he is good, and that we might know that Jesus is our Redeemer, that truth may be clear to us every day, and that we might know that the Spirit is a daily instructor, that the deceptions of this world might not penetrate, but we might see what is true. God is our refuge, Jesus is our Redeemer, and the Spirit is our Helper. And we are called to love God and worship, and we are called to love people and recognize that each life is valuable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've given us today. I thank you for the way that you are sovereign over all time, and you have given to the Israelites a way and a system in the old covenant and the old system. But God, let us be knowledgeable in the new covenant, knowledgeable that you are with us just as you are with Israel, and that you are our God, and we are called to be your people and look to you, not to other things, but look to you for refuge in this world. God, help us to remember, and even today as we take communion, help us to remember that we have a great Redeemer, that we may flee on the clear roads of the gospel to the cross, that we might receive mercy and not be treated as our sins deserve, and then let us continue the walk of sanctification as you have given us your Spirit, that we might have your law on our hearts, that we might be new creations in Christ with good works prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them as we work out our individual salvations that you have blessed us with, God. May we glorify you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.